As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
The only way to score is, of course, to play with a handbrake off.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone. This is Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Today we'll be chatting about Declan Rice's role in the Sheffield United game, looking at how Mikel may set up the midfield for the remainder of the season as well. We'll also be previewing the visit of Brentford on Saturday afternoon. To do so, I'm joined by James McNicholas and Art de Roche. Afternoon.
Hello, Ian.
Good afternoon.
Nice to see you guys. Haven't spoken to you since Sheffield United the other day. James, I did watch your On the Whistle from the safety of your kitchen where you were banished to. And yeah, it was pretty stunning, wasn't it? I mean, we had a lot of fun there. I'm just going to ask the two, you're not getting overexcited, right?
No.
Of course not.
Listen, we've all learnt lessons from last year. But it's hopefully Mikel and the team are the guys who've learnt the most lessons in that respect.
I think that's probably right. More than us, really. Yeah. And I do feel that might have been aimed at me, to be honest with you. But
mentioning no names.
I always felt like I had a realistic view of the season, but the point is I enjoyed it. And this is what we have to do at the moment, right? We have to enjoy this team because they're beautiful to watch. Before we get started, the Athletic's Tom Burrows recently spoke to Matteo Guendouzi, who was in the Lazio team that lost to Bayern Munich in the Champions League. In his piece, which you can read on the site, he wrote, "The ex-Arsenal midfielder's father, Mohamed, is a karate coach and many of his family are training in the martial arts." I guess that's where he gets his competitive side from. Guendouzi said, "I've always been like this. Ever since I was 7 or 8 years old, when I was losing a game, I was always screaming, 'This is my mentality.'" What a nightmare he must have been, really. Anyway, we were wondering who you most take after and why. James, obviously I know some of your life story, having read your excellent book, if I may say. Your granddad was a boxer, champion boxer for that. Do you have any similarities to Matteo, aged 7 or 8?
No. This apple fell pretty far from that particular tree, I've got to say.
A lover, not a fighter, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, some people would say I've never been neither, really, in my life, Ian. But probably lover is closer. Do you know what? I think I've inherited most traits from my dad, actually. And we dug up these old videotapes, home videos that were made in the early 90s when I was a kid. And as was sort of the tendency back then, you know, we converted them to DVD and over the videos, he's kind of commentating, sort of like David Attenborough on these feral children. But what's so weird is that when you watch it back, his voice is my voice now. It's like listening to myself. And I never thought it'd be the case, but it absolutely is. There weren't podcasts around when my dad was in his 30s, but if there were, he would have sounded exactly like this. So, yeah, it's weird.
Did he say at some point, "Let's do this"?
Yeah, I've taken everything from him.
Art, what about you? Where'd you get your essential artness from?
It's weird because I feel like with most people, it's a mix. And I really do feel that mix is very clear with me. So, like, obviously, people know me, probably know I'm quite a reserved person most of the time. I think that mostly comes from my dad because my mum's a lot more outgoing, but then that outgoing side kind of comes out if you get to know me a little bit better, and maybe others can see on Twitter quite a bit of the time as well. So Yeah. And then I guess the journalistic stuff, my grandmother on my dad's side was an English teacher. So that's probably where that comes in as well. So a little glimpse into my lineage, I guess, for listeners, which I hope they enjoyed.
I hope they enjoyed it too. I certainly enjoyed it. You enjoy it, James?
I loved it. What about you, Ian? Who do you think you're closest to?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, look, I mean, I did in the book that I wrote, which I talked about on the show once or twice, I did call my father the single most useless adult human I've ever met in my life. To which, by the way, when he read it, I said, "How do you feel about that?" He went, "Oh no, I didn't care about that." He said, "Because it's true." So he's fine with it. My parents were useless, to be honest with you. So if it was anyone, I'd be like, "Oh, my grandmother on my dad's side. She wanted to be a dancer, and then my granddad put his foot down, said it wasn't the sort of thing a good Jewish girl did in the 1920s and 30s. So she was thwarted in her performing ambitions, and I think she would have really enjoyed me doing my thing. My sister told me recently she used to dance around her flat in the 70s, listening to Donna Summer and Sylvester. You make me feel mighty real. And I used to think, my God, I used to do the same thing in discos. I could have just gone round my nans. Anyway, that's who I think take after, Sissy, bless her. Do you want to hear a funny story about Sissy before I go on?
Yeah, go on.
When my granddad died, she said, "Can you take me to the cemetery? I'll go and visit the grave." And so we went to the cemetery, but she forgot the grid reference, right? You know, they're all on a grid reference, G34. So she's getting really upset. We're wandering about and it's windy and cold like it always is in cemeteries. And I said, "Well, do you have any idea where he is?" And she said to me, "He's near the Cohens," right? And I went, "Nana, it's a Jewish cemetery. You're going to have to be more specific than that." Anyway, if you're in a Jewish cemetery at some point about 20 years ago and you saw two people laughing and crying, that was us. Anyway, let's talk about Arsenal for a bit. Declan Rice at number 8. We thought we'd start things off today talking about Declan Rice and the role he played against Sheffield United. Jorginho started the game. Bit of a surprise, because usually you go big games. I mean, I imagine even Jorginho was like, "Sheffield United, boss, you want me to start against Sheffield United?" But there he was. But anyway, what happened was Declan Rice was venturing further forward. James, he's already broken his record for number of goals in a season. He'd beaten the one that he had at West Ham, because he basically used to have to sit there the whole time protecting that defence. Whereas now he can get forward a bit more. Do you like this new iteration?
Yeah, I do. I thought he was really good, actually, in this respect against Sheffield United. I mean, it was a night where everybody shone. So, you know, I completely understand people like Odegaard took the plaudits. But I thought Rice's movement in the final third was really promising, really encouraging and pretty intelligent. You know, he obviously got in behind, set up the first goal, although I think he didn't get credit with the assist on that one because of a deflection on the cross. Got a lovely goal himself. He's up to 5 goals and 5 assists in the league. And, you know, there was talk that when Manchester City were interested in the summer, they saw him in this kind of slightly more advanced role, more of a box-to-box role. Arsenal, I think, in the long term, probably do see him at the base of the midfield. But I hope that we keep sort of using all aspects of his play, because he's an all-round midfield player and you don't get too many of those these days.
No. He stretches the play when he runs like that, doesn't he? I mean, we were saying on the other day, there were certain points when he was sort of playing at centre-forward for a little bit. He runs into that position. It must be very hard to pick players up when you're meant to be when you're meant to be marking them.
Yeah, I think it's in the build-up to the second goal, the own goal, where before the ball actually goes out to Saka, he's screaming for a ball over the top that doesn't come. Thankfully, he kept making those runs and was able to get that, well, ghost assist, I guess we'd call it.
Oh, joke. Why? I mean, that's a joke. I mean, we get it, all right? Yeah. It wasn't a deflection, but that was his assist. But anyway, yeah. And then the goal was beautiful, wasn't it?
Saka to pull it back, and Rice to make it 5 in the first half.
Very, very well taken goal. And I don't know if you guys watched Monday Night Football in terms of the build-up and the post-match, but I thought it was quite interesting when Thierry Henry mentioned Yaya Toure having to do a job at Barcelona and then obviously getting to be a bit more free when he went to Manchester City. I'm not saying that Declan Rice is going to have a 20-goal season anytime soon, but it's nice that he's got so many areas to his game that are very at elite level.
Yeah.
And there are times where we can see different shades of that when they're needed, because maybe in a different game, we'll see other attributes that need to be used a bit more often.
I think Yaya Toure is one of Declan Rice's big idols as well. Like, there's a nice video on YouTube, I think, where Yaya Toure goes around his house and surprises him, and they go through Declan Rice's shirt collection together. And you can see like how made up he is, because I think when he was coming up through the ranks at West Ham, you know, obviously Toure was a player that he really, really idolised. So it's an interesting comparison to make.
It's lovely to hear, to be honest with you, you know, that the guy we spent all that money on, as I've said many times, bit of a bargain as it turns out, but being compared in any way to Yaya Toure, because I remember when we played them and he was playing and you just went, well, you can't get the ball off him. We just have to let him do what he does. In terms of this sort of double pivot thing that we're doing, Jorginho sitting there, particularly Jorginho, and as creative as he is, I'll ask you this first. Do we miss Zinchenko less because Jorginho can sort of do the same thing? Obviously, he is playing in midfield, but he's got that range of passing that Zinny has.
Yeah, I think it complements, I guess, that evolution of the midfield a lot, because you have someone who doesn't just sit in one position either. He will drift. So you can have, say, Kivior just sit there at left back, where with Jorginho in there, he's comfortable and ready to receive the ball from most angles as well. So it really does simplify things, I think, for that midfield. And then obviously allows Declan Rice to move a bit further forward because he's got that cover behind him.
And James, Kai Havertz, obviously, I mean, as you say, everyone played well the other day, but Kai Havertz up front, do you think that sort of suits being paired with a double pivot more than Gabriel Jesus? I mean, these things are all, everyone's adaptable, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there is a nice balance to, I'd almost call it the quartet of Jorginho, Rice, Odegaard and Havertz. I think they almost operate as a kind of unit. They're two pairs, really, in some respects. And they seem to have struck up a really effective understanding. And I think what's so exciting and what's so interesting about all of those players is how multifunctional, multi-purpose they are. You know, in the same game, sometimes they can occupy different zones of the pitch, different roles. And I think one of Mikel Arteta's big goals for the team this year was to create that element of unpredictability.
Yeah.
I think he's really, really achieved that, because if we think about the games coming up, be it Brentford or Porto, you know, none of us can be absolutely sure what team he's going to pick. You said yourself, you were surprised by Jorginho being in the starting 11 at Sheffield United. It is anybody's guess to a certain extent at this point. Maybe the back four being the sort of more consistent foundation that we've built everything on top of.
Yeah. Well, all right, let's talk about Ben White then, as we're talking about the back four. I mean, he's a baller, isn't he? I mean, we spent £50 million on him, and people were saying maybe he can play even as a sort of holding midfielder, but he was more likely to be a centre-half. Now he's turned up at right-back, and he's brilliant, but now he's inverting as well. He's another one. His development through the last couple of years, it's great to see. And I want him to do every post-match interview as well, because I just love the attitude.
It's nice to see someone who's prepared to be a little bit different in a football interview. You know, they can be a bit copy and paste, can't they? So I'm all for it. Whenever anybody shows a bit of individuality or personality, I think Ben White as a footballer continues to evolve, continues to grow. And actually, I think kind of maybe the sort of untold story of Ben White is quite how durable, resilient, tough he is. If you think about that right back position, we bought Jurrien Timber in the summer to provide cover and competition. Tomiyasu, ostensibly, you'd think would be there. Thomas Partey started the season playing in that role. We've been without all those players for long stretches. Timber for the entire season. Ben White has played so much football in a role that has involved getting up and down the touchline, as you say, stepping into midfield. The ground he's covered, I doubt many first team players can match it in the Premier League this season. So the fact that he's still doing that, and he's been playing with strapping, to be honest, half the time, I think, you know, there are sometimes preconceptions about players, and I think Ben White is a much tougher cookie than he gets credit for.
Quite, and scored with his left foot as well. I mean, certainly when I grew up, players were not two-footed. I don't think we had a right back before this, and apologies, Dicko, if you're listening, who could hit a ball like that with their left foot? Maybe you could. And the delight on his face. Do you think that Mikel Arteta might be the one who makes Ben White love football in the end? Do you think?
I wouldn't say it's just him. I think if you remember back a couple of seasons, I think it was his first year at the club when the All or Nothing documentary was on, and he had a meeting with Carlos Cuesta, who said his biggest strength was his ability to learn. And I think we've seen that every year he's been at the club. So obviously he's made it well known it is a job to him, but I think he probably lets on a bit more than there actually is with that, because you see he actually does have a personality, and I reckon he does enjoy it quite a bit. It's just nice that I think, as James mentioned, he doesn't just do one thing. He's able to go around Saka. He's able to come inside as well. Yeah. I think having someone as multifunctional as him is a major benefit, and shout out to whoever was the scout that actually scouted him.
Well, quite. I mean, variance has been the key to our success this season. Obviously, there's no definitive answer to who's going to be in that back four and how they're going to play. But it'll be interesting to see how Mikel sets up going forward, especially once Jurrien Timber is fit. After the break, we'll be looking ahead to Saturday's game against Brentford.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
They get a handbrake off and you can see that they are more free to play.
Ian Stone, Art de Roche and James McNicholas here on Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Now, some of you may have seen a GIF going around on social media, and it's of our defenders in the tunnel before the game against Sheffield United. In order, David Raya, Ben White, William Saliba, Gabriel Magalhães and Jakub Kivior. Now, what's striking about it is how they all look. David Raya, I have to say, seems bigger than I ever thought he was and cool as anything. I mean, he looks like he's ready. Ben White looks like he wants to kill whoever he's looking at, I have to say. William Saliba has a look of, oh yeah, really, on his face. And Gabriel has a, who are this lot, look on his. Now, Amy talked on here on Monday, James, about the Invincibles aura. And I think we had a little tingle watching the game Monday night, thinking the same thing. But if at some point in the next few weeks and months, you're feeling a bit nervy about an upcoming game, perhaps it'd be a good idea to take a glance at that GIF. It should fortify you for the upcoming battles.
Yeah, it is a good one. It is a good one. It might become one of the kind of iconic memes of this season. I remember last season there was one where the camera sort of panned down the first 11 and that got shared around a lot. And obviously the team's evolved since then. There are new faces. You mentioned Raya. We've talked about Rice already. It's a different team. It's one that's, you know, taken a step forward, I think, certainly this calendar year. And that is so important, that aura. You know, teams were beaten in the tunnel, weren't they, by the Invincibles at times. And
I feel like that on Monday. I feel like, yeah. Sheffield United, I mean, they were looking across and I was reminded of the Duke of Wellington who said of his troops before, I think, the Battle of Waterloo, I don't know what they do to the enemy, but they scare the hell out of me. And it genuinely felt, I was thinking, they look so mean. Oh, that's what you want, right, from your defence.
Yeah, definitely. I think in all aspects, it was just a brutal night from start to finish. And it just looked like Arsenal were imposing everything, all of their will, on Sheffield United. It didn't matter that they were in danger of being relegated. They wanted to hurt them as much as possible. And I think if that continues for the rest of the season, I'll be very happy.
Quiet. Brentford on Saturday. We know what happened last year, and thank heavens that Paul Tierney is nowhere near. Oh, he's what? He's on VAR, is it? Okay. Anyway, Brentford last year, when they forgot to draw the lines for some reason. That's their only job. I haven't let that one go yet. David Raya is ineligible. Let's start there. David Raya, ineligible to face his parent club. Could be the last time we see Aaron Ramsdale at the Emirates, James. Amy was saying on Monday how she thinks that Rambo he seems a bit more content now. He's sort of come to terms with what's happened. I was at the game at Brentford, the League Cup game earlier in the season when he played, and he made a really, really good save when we were 1-0 up. I feel he's going to be properly on it because this is shop window for him as well, right?
Shop window. I suppose he's got his Euros place to fight for as well. Yeah. It's going to be tricky. There's an interesting situation developing with the England goalkeepers and who's playing and who's not and who's fit and who's not. I think Southgate's going to have a tough call to make there come the squad in the summer. So yeah, a lot on the line potentially for Rambo, and I'm sure he'll be fired up. I mean, he obviously played against Brentford in the away game in the Premier League as well, and that was maybe a slightly less auspicious appearance. He looked nervy. I think he looked lacking in confidence. But when he came back in for the FA Cup game against Liverpool, I think he looked more like himself, not maybe at his absolute best, but more like himself. And let's hope he's had a good week in training, because it's a really important game. And, you know, it's tricky. We all think he's a good goalkeeper, I think, Aaron Ramsdale. But as you've talked about already, there is a kind of relationship. There is a settled defence that we've kept in place through this really good run of form. You disturb that and, you know, sometimes mistakes can happen. So, yeah, it's obviously going to be a really critical area for us on Saturday. Hopefully we can do what we've done most of the season and just really protect our goalkeeper and not leave them with that much to do regardless.
I mean, Art, surely if you're coming into a team which has got the aura that Arsenal have got at the moment, that's surely got to help settle the nerves a little bit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I think one, I guess, area that was needing improvement from last season was just being settled in games. Even if Arsenal were winning games, it always felt like they would just almost lose concentration for a few minutes. So I feel like that's not been there for, I guess, at least the calendar year so far. And with such a settled backline anyway, you would hope that that gives Aaron Ramsdale as much confidence as he needs to just feel the trust in front of him. And then hopefully, if he's needed, if he's called upon, which David Raya hasn't really been in the last few weeks, he'll just have the quality to keep the ball out of the net.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how it affects set pieces from a defensive perspective. You know, this season, David Raya has been very, very good. Historically, he's been very, very good, coming off his line and collecting crosses to the extent that I think opposition have almost given up trying to stop him. Whereas Aaron Ramsdale, when he plays in goal for Arsenal, when there's corners, when there's free kicks, he tends to get very, very crowded and it can get quite congested in that six-yard box. We've seen opposition teams do that to him before and sometimes, you know, be successful in that.
And Brentford are that sort of team as well, aren't they?
They absolutely are. Set pieces are a real strength of theirs. So, you know, it's been a strength of ours all season long. And we're lucky to have a goalkeeper as good as Aaron Ramsdale on the bench to come in. But I am interested to see if that's an area that Brentford perhaps look to exploit on Saturday.
And in terms of the lineup, Art, I mean, as James said, we really don't know. We've got players coming back. Gabriel Jesus and Thomas Partey back in contention. They both looked a bit rusty the other day. What would you do?
My initial thoughts go to maybe giving Jorginho a little bit of a rest ahead of Porto. I don't know if he's fully come through his kind of fitness issues that Mikel Arteta mentioned after, I believe it was the Liverpool game, but those seem to be something that were ongoing. So my instinct would be, yeah, maybe just put Declan Rice in a more of a sit-in role. Maybe Havertz in midfield for Jesus up top to give him, I guess, just a start to really get back in the motion of things.
Martinelli might be ruled out. We don't know. I mean, Mikel Arteta said after the game it was a cut. Cut doesn't sound too bad, does it? It's not muscular, but who knows?
No, exactly. So maybe two or three changes from Monday night, especially with it being quite a tight turnaround Monday to Saturday. But nothing major, I'd say.
No, and Brentford, I mean, go the other way, you'd like to think that with whoever we pick, Brentford are without their first choice back four. Hickey, me, Pinnock and Henry. They're missing Pinnock a lot. I've watched a few of Brentford's games and he is a calming influence for them. You'd hope, James, we'd have enough going forward to get the result, really.
I think so. If everyone does their jobs, and I include the VAR in that, then we should be all right.
Are you listening, Tierney? Are you listening? It's not a demotion. You're just looking at the most important, crucial decisions. That's all it is. What a joke. What an absolute joke the PGMOL are. Hopefully we'll be all right. Let's have a song to finish. James, what you got?
Right, a little story to this one. So basically, last season, when we had the Black Away kit, I made the mistake of not buying it when it first came out.
James, what are you doing? A man of your experience.
I literally bought one for me and my mum on release day.
I bought one for me and my son.
There you go. Yeah, there you anyway. Go. Well, I've not made the mistake. I've got the fluorescent bruised banana for this season.
You got the fluorescent?
Yeah, of course I have, yeah. Going around look like a traffic warden in that all the time. I love it. If we keep winning like that, it's going to be an iconic kit.
It is.
But what was I saying? Yeah, so I never got the black away kit. So this summer, when the black goalkeeper kit came out, I was like, I've got to get me one of those, right? It's the closest possible thing. So I went in the armory and they had them all pre-printed. One Ramsdale on the back. This was in early August, probably. Got myself one of those. 2 weeks later, he was out of the team, right? But I've been waiting all season for him to be back in the team and for me to have a chance to wear it. So the song I've gone for, AC/DC, Back in Black. Aaron Ramsdale's back in the side this weekend.
Yes, I'm liking it. Lovely. Art, I know how much thought you put into these songs. What have you got? What have you got for us?
I'm sure you guys have listened to the new Yeet album.
Oh, yeah. Massive fan, as you can imagine.
To be fair, I still need to listen to the new Schoolboy Q album as well. So that may
be... Me too.
That yeah, may join be the queue, mate.
But I'm going for Yeet this week and Power Trip, just based off how Arsenal have been playing this year, because it just seems like they want complete control of every single instance of a football match. Push and buzz the instruments and let me
play. I ain't heard so stick up when you gon' say. They do. They do. I mean, I could have had, interesting enough, now you mentioned it, I could have had Complete Control by The Clash. Great punk tune of the past, but I've gone for You Got the Look by Prince. But it's based on that on that gif of our defenders and the way they look. And I genuinely want that on the wall, on a wall somewhere, that I can look at it every so often for reassurance, you know, just about life in general. That's it for this edition of Handbrake Off. Thank you to James McNicholas. Thanks to Art de Roche. Thanks to Jay, our producer. Enjoy yourself Saturday. Ta-ra.